It is just before 8:36 in the morning. The program's up front. My name is Brian Edwards Teeker. Camp Brooks is out sick today. And yesterday, a federal jury in New York handed down 10 guilty verdicts on 10 criminal charges. I guess one of the most legendary drug figures of the 20th and 21st centuries, Joaquin El Chapo Guzman, a man accused by the U.S. federal government of earning somewhere in the vicinity of $14 billion by running an organization that smuggled up to 200 tons of drugs into the United States. He has been arrested. He has been put on trial many times before in Mexico and has always managed to find a way to get himself out of custody and back into the world. For the past 2 years, he's been in the custody of the United States. We're joined now by one of the reporters who was staking out the trial in the courtroom. Emily Palmer is with the New York Times. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, first off, for those of us who were not in the courtroom every day, what are the biggest things we learned during the trial?
That's a great question. I mean, one thing that I think is really important to consider is the fact that this trial gave us a window into the drug world that we had really never had access to before. Most people who have been extradited into the United States have taken plea deals before testifying. So this case, which brought in 56 witnesses, 14 of which were cooperating witnesses with ties to the cartel, were able to paint a picture of what that world looks like. We saw how drugs were moved from Colombia to Mexico, from Mexico to the United States. We saw the interplay of government agents and cartel workers working together to get drugs across the border, and saw on a scale that we had never really seen before how such corruption and bribery really manifested itself in creating the strong cartels that we see today.
One of the most striking allegations from one of the federal government's cooperating witnesses was that a $100 million bribe was paid directly to the last president of Mexico, Enrique Peña Nieto.
Absolutely. And sort of funny enough, originally he asked for $250 million, according to the witness. And Chapo said, $100 million will have to do.
But this is not like bribing low-level police officials to look the other way while you drive the truck through the desert. This is the president of Mexico. What was the quid pro quo?
For sure. I mean, the idea was $100 million and you'll look the other way and I won't be captured. It seems to have worked for many before. Also in this trial, Felipe Calderon, the president before Enrique Peña Nieto, was also mentioned as taking bribes from the Beltran Leyva organization. López Obrador, the current president, his top security official, is accused of taking multi-million dollars from the Sinaloa cartel. In fact, one of the lieutenants in Chapo's army mentioned that he would pay out $300,000 a month to officials between 1990 and 2003, and that money was used basically to get a stronghold in Mexico City and other large areas where it was very important that they have essentially a free rein within the community.
Any signs of relationships to or bribery of officials in the newly installed center-left government of Andrés Manuel López Obrador?
So we did hear from Jesús Zambada, the first cooperating witness who had worked under Mr. Guzman for many years. He mentioned a multi-million dollar bribe in 2005 to Obrador's top security official. That was the closest tie that we saw so far. Obviously, the focus of this trial was on things that they could tie directly to Chapo. And as Obrador took over power after Chapo's extradition, he was a little bit less relevant within this trial. But certainly when you see, ties to the last three presidents, connecting back to cartels and seeing these very large multi-million dollar bribes, you have to think, well, surely, this is a pattern that continues even after Chapo.
Getting Joaquin El Chapo Guzman arrested extradited and successfully prosecuted, the target of an immense investment of resources by the U.S. government. They won their case. Did they fix the drug trade through Mexico?
Well, the folks that came outside the courthouse yesterday, shortly after the verdict, would certainly like you to think so. There was quite a parade by the DEA yesterday, talking about, you know, how this was justice for the many thousands upon thousands of people who had overdosed and their families and friends and communities. And certainly it is a victory in holding people at the highest level accountable. However, it is not the end. You know, we look at the opioid crisis today, and we see that 42,000 people died of opioid use in 2016 alone. 2016, Chapo was already in custody, right? We see that the number of Americans who die each year of opioid use is about equivalent to those who died of AIDS at its peak. And we see a huge cost, you know, more than $500 billion to our country this year, according to a White House report back in November. We really see a huge focus because it is such a huge issue. You know, every 19 minutes, a new baby is born affected by opioids. That is not a small thing, but that has continued. You know, well beyond Chapo, you can't blame one man for the crisis. And so I think
the point is the government resources the drug war. Like, you can blame one man for the crisis. Figures for the DEA, though, show that from 2016 to 2017, this is a period during which El Chapo is in custody, Mexican heroin production increases 37%. Fentanyl seizures at the southwest border more than double.
Right, absolutely. I mean, what you see when one man is taken out of the job, somebody else comes to replace him. So, you know, these things certainly continue, and the problem has only increased since he has been taken out. But certainly still, you know, a success to take him off the streets officially. But you're absolutely correct.
According to El Chapo Guzman's lawyers, this is not the final word. They're going to attempt to appeal this conviction?
That is correct. Jeffrey Lichtman, one of the main attorneys, said that he was going to start looking at that as early as today, in fact. They don't plan for this to be the end. Currently, the sentencing is scheduled for June. That sentence is all but decided, of course, when he was found guilty of the first charge that guaranteed that he would have life in prison without parole. But they're looking to get something going in the coming months to maybe put a stop to that. They're hoping in particular to be able to more thoroughly cross-examine witnesses who had a lot more that they could have said and shed light on other parts of the story that didn't come out in the trial, and they're hoping to do that in a future one.
All right. Emily Palmer, thank you so much for the coverage. Thanks for joining us over Skype to talk about it.
Thank you.
Emily Palmer is a reporter with the New York Times. She has been staking out the trial of El Chapo. His legal name is Joaquin Guzman, the head of the Sinaloa cartel, who was just convicted by a federal jury yesterday on all 10 criminal counts that had been brought by the federal government. During that trial, allegations from the federal government that he made more than $14 billion running that organization. He was responsible for smuggling over 200 tons of drugs into the United States. But during the entire period he's been in custody, all indications are that there has not been a dent in the drug trade through Mexico. To the contrary, it appears to have increased.